brighten up your home with help from Menards. Illuminate your home with LED light bulbs from Fight Electric. They provide light that lasts with a rated life of over 10,000 hours. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Fight Electric LED light bulbs now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This, the Fan.
Good evening, I'm Isaiah Jacob. The Kansas City Chiefs announced beginning in 2031 they will play their games in a new dome stadium. The announcement comes after Kansas lawmakers approved a proposal to help pay for the new stadium for the team. In college football news, Notre Dame and BYU have agreed to a home-and-home series beginning next season, which marks a halt in the Fighting Irish's longtime annual series with USC for the foreseeable future. Tonight in the NBA, Cavs are back in action hosting the Charlotte Hornets. Tip-off at 7 p.m. Donovan Mitchell is dealing with an illness but is probable to play. And then later on, the CBJ are on the late slate at 10 p.m. They travel to Los Angeles to play the Kings. You can hear it right here on The Fan. Pre-game coverage begins at 9:30. Tomorrow, OSU Hoops host Grambling State at 2 p.m. Buckeyes look to get momentum rolling before beginning the heart of Big Ten play next Friday against Rutgers. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Up for Ohio State.
You've waited all day for this.
He's going to take it to the house. 85 yards. Down the right side going. Devin Smith got it at the 5 and into the end zone. Touchdown.
The one show that's nothing but the Buckeyes.
Oh! Grab Rucker for the touchdown. Kraft shoots it high on the right for 3.
This is the Buckeye Show.
That's right, we got you for the Buckeye Show tonight. Matt Fontana, former Ohio State national champion, Joshua Perry with you tonight. We'll take you up till 8 o'clock, and oh boy, what a day to recap for the Buckeyes as we get ready to go for the semifinals, college football playoff. We've had a long time off, but got the guys out there today for some press conferences, heard from Ryan Day. We got some big news today. We'll get to all of it, but Josh, man, we can't go any further. Happy holidays to you and yours. Tis the week upon us, and I still have rapping I have to do. I'm not good at it, man. I'm not good at all.
Yeah, happy holidays to you as well. I'd stay out of it. I don't do it. That is not my wheelhouse. I'm very good at supplying the credit card or debit card and then letting my wife deal with the rest of it. But Matt, I wanted to say, I was listening to you guys. I was riding around yesterday as I was doing some last minute holiday errands, and I was listening to you and Tyvis, and it sounded like you had a bunch of fun there.
Oh, for sure. I appreciate that, man. Yeah, I love working with Tyvis. Browns pregame yesterday, which was always a lot of fun, and I was joking because, like, I feel like you and Tyvis, obviously not just former Buckeyes, but I hear and see you guys everywhere. I'm like, are you home with your families? You got a thousand things going on. So you guys are certainly one and the same in that. But we'll get to that a little bit later in the show because I do want to recap some Buckeyes in the NFL, which just, man, what a bummer about Quinshon yesterday with the broken leg. Mm-hmm. He had surgery out for the Browns. But, some big games for Chris Olave and some other Buckeyes yesterday. So we'll do that as we kind of look around the NFL a little bit later. But I appreciate it, man. Always a lot of fun. And today, you know, it was so interesting that how this college football playoff, kind of the schedule is, and obviously you know it, going through it when you guys went and won your national championship, but like the time off where none of us forgot about the Buckeyes or you're sitting around, but now we finally have an opponent, we know it's Miami, and it was just great to see some of the guys today and to hear from some of them. We'll get into the Ryan Day situation because that's probably the biggest news coming out today is that he is going to be taking over the play calling for the team moving forward. But it was just interesting that really didn't have much going on. You were just kind of sitting there waiting for an opponent. Now we've got it and getting ready to go for the game, which is still, 10 days away.
It's so odd because you're watching the guys on the awards circuit, and that's the most that you get to see of them at this point in the year. And I feel like as an observer, there's almost a little bit of anxiety, like, everybody handle their finals well, like, are they getting their practice in? Who's out there on the field? It's just not a lot of updates that are going on. So I agree with you. It was great to see the guys. It was really good to hear from Ryan Day too, and how candid he was about how they have to prepare and some of the things that are getting ready to go on that we're going to dive into here. And then of course, finally understanding who you're going to play. And it's one of the most difficult things I would expect for a team that had to sit and watch this first weekend is your coaches have been preparing for both teams in a certain regard. Like they were formulating what a game plan would look like for either opponent. But as a player, you're just like, OK, okay, do I watch tape on A&M? Do I watch tape on Miami? Like, what am I really doing in this preparation downtime that we have? So now they have a lot of clarity as they can get ready to get into a game plan.
And then on top of that, a change that Ryan Day announces today that he's going to be taking over the play calling. And we heard today from Max Clair and Julian Sain, they both said that Day has been more involved with the preparation as they go. And, you know, Josh, it's hard because it's like, you know, we wish Ryan Hartline well, and that's the part of this business, and it's a part of this, and it's an incredible opportunity for him to move on. But it's still a distraction. And as much as he didn't want it to be and wait until after the playoff or after the Big Ten championship game, like, it's still there. And I'm not trying to jump into conspiracy theories or things like that, but I think this is the right move for Ryan Day to make this, to say, hey, we're just solely focused on what we need to do here. I don't necessarily think it's a shot at Brian Hartline, but it's also maybe Ryan Day was seeing something that he felt like could be better or the change was needed. And I appreciate to have this time off for them to make it. And Ryan Day say, hey, I'm taking back over the play calling.
Well, let's talk about it for a second, because I think that there are a couple things at odds here. And the first thing I'll start with is, if you're Ryan Day and you felt like the game plan for the Big Ten championship wasn't as buttoned up as it typically is, and you have a worry about that as you get into the college football playoff, you are 100% incentivized to take over play calling, because you're the guy who is going to have to wear it if it doesn't go well. Brian Hartline's going to be somewhere else, right? So, like, even if Buckeye fans are mad, he's not necessarily going to be accountable for it, because he's going to be accountable to a new program. So that's Ryan Day's deal. The other thing I would say is Brian Hartline is in a very difficult position. This goes back to the college football calendar that everybody's been talking about. I think it's screwed up. But here's a guy who's trying to take the next step in his career. He's earned the opportunity to become a head coach, but he has to finish business at the job where he's at. And we went through that in 2014 with Tom Herman, who was going to take the Houston job.
Oh, and, that's right.
And
yeah,
it was difficult for him. Bill Rabinowitz actually had a really good conversation with him. He published it on his Substack, but he was talking to Tom Herman about how he had to manage his days. And the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, Brian Hartline has it worse, because January 2nd, the portal is going to open up and he's got to be able to get his roster together. Back in the day in 14, we weren't worried about a portal, and signing day wasn't until February. Mm. Right. So, like, there are so many things that are on his plate. And I feel bad for him in that regard. At the same time, right? Like, everybody's an adult and you got to get the job done. So I appreciate Ryan Day for saying, if something's going to go wrong, at least I'll be the one to be in full control of it, because I've got to be accountable to it anyway.
Let's hear from Ryan Day again. He spoke today, offensive players earlier, defensive ones coming up in just a little bit. But here's Ryan Day kind of on that decision to take over play calling and what went behind it. Here's Ryan Day earlier today.
You know, first off, you know, we just really happy for Brian and the opportunity that he's getting. It's such a strange calendar, and the timing is brutal. And but, you know, he's handled it great, as you can imagine. And and so, you know, right now as we move forward, he's coaching the receivers. You know, it's a lot on his plate. It's a lot, you know, to manage. So we're kind of taking it, you know, day to day right now, just in terms of as we move forward going into the game. You know, it'll be a group effort. You know, Keenan will be very much involved. Everybody will be involved with the play calling. Ultimately, it'll be my decision, you know, what calls go into the game in this game. You know, kind of wanted to take that off of Brian's plate as we head into the playoffs, because he's got so much going on with what he's trying to do. But he's working hard towards it, and we're just going to keep evaluating it every day to see what's best for the group.
And that was Ryan Day talking about the decision to take over play calling. And I think, too, Josh, like, it's – It could come off as a shot. Mm-hmm. It could come off as a negative thing, like, I'm taking this away from Brian Hartline and we don't trust him to do this anymore, or he's distracted and we're just going to rip this away from him. That's not the vibe I get, right? The vibe I get is, listen, we completely understand the situation that he's in. He is having a lot on your plate, exactly what you were just describing so well about what his day looks like and all that's going on. And I just think that this is so, like, forward thinking on Ryan Day's part to say, this could be a problem. let's not make it a problem at all. Let's just completely nip this in the bud. If we think that this is all going to hurt our football team, let's step in right now. Let's take care of this while we have some time off, and we could just move forward with it. I think that's really what went into this decision.
I tend to agree with that, and I would assume that Ryan Day and Brian Hartline are both mature enough to have had a conversation about how Brian Hartline is feeling at this point, too. You know, it was intriguing listening to his press conferences when he was down in Tampa getting everything set up and they were introducing him. And he was like, yeah, you know, the last week was a bit overwhelming and it, you know, kind of got the best of me. And I think if I'm hearing that as Ryan Day, when Hartline got back, I would just sit him down in my office and have a heart to heart. Where are you at? How much can you give us right now? We know you're great with the receivers. Are you comfortable in a role where you just do that and we fill in the gaps for you? By the way, I know some people kind of soured on Ryan Day calling plays before last year, whatever the case was. Not a bad play caller. The guy can dial up some plays, right? And especially for a postseason run, you think he'd get the job done. So again, it could be a negative, and it feels probably to some people like, oh, Brian Hartline's not doing his job, so they had to snatch it from him. I think you have to make this type of decision if you're Ryan Day, because you can't just leave it up to, well, you know what? We'll see what happens. And I hope that he can get it done. Hope is not a strategy when you're preparing to play Miami in the college football playoffs.
And Ohio State, a team that this happens a lot because they're a good program, right? Exactly. Like you said, how many assistants do you see littered everywhere else that move off and get another opportunity? And again, where's the Buckeyes? They lost both their offensive and defensive coordinator from a season ago. You bring in Matt Patricia, who's been amazing. He's on the Broyles Award watch list for that. You have Brian Hartline, who did so well, ready to go take a head coaching job. And I think this could be even Ryan Day as they eventually get to that point of understanding, what do we want that OC to be last year or next year, right? So Chip Kelly, okay, he was calling plays. You knew that. There was a big debate in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Brian Hartline, is he going to call plays or not? Okay, you gave him that role. Now, Ryan Day taking it back as you prepare for this offseason, depending on who they hire, of course, you could sit there and say, is this what's best for the team? Is this what we want to do? Have them call plays or keep having RD do it? I think, again, I'm with you, Joshua. Like, I really like Ryan Day as a play caller. I always have. So if he's taking it back, I think this is a great move for the Buckeyes. Speaking of great moves for Ohio State, one of the best things that they could have, a healthy Jeremiah Smith. Good news for Ohio State fans, you will get a healthy Jeremiah Smith for that game against the Hurricanes. He did go into detail today exactly what that injury was that he was going through. He said he wanted to play in that Michigan game. And great news, he says he's 100%. We'll hear from him next. It's the Buckeye Show right here on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Experience Buckeye game day like never before. Welcome to the 1922 Club, the most exclusive space inside Ohio Stadium, where luxury meets tradition in the heart of Buckeye Nation. Enjoy upscale food and beverages and a game day atmosphere like no other. Create lasting memories with friends and mingling with other Buckeye fans, and celebrate every OHIO in ultimate comfort. Become a member of the 1922 Club today. Memberships are limited. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com.
It's game day at Raising Cane's. If you want to order like a Buckeye, it's the action off the field you need to focus on. The only play you're running is chicken. So what combo are you picking? Make it a perfect season. We've got tailgates of hand-battered, cooked-to-order chicken fingers and cane sauce. And jugs of freshly made tea and lemonade. All available to order online or on our app. This season is about to be unbeatable. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers. One love. Proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
I love the neighborhood where I grew up, but it was tough.
Ohio State National Championship quarterback and former CareSource kid, Cardale Jones.
Football helped me find my direction, but I also needed the right support system. Seeing that CareSource heart around town, I just knew they had my back. That's the kind of difference they still make in neighborhoods like mine. This is so much more than health insurance. CareSource, today and always, trusted. Visit CareSource.com.
The 2026 Buckeye Cruise for Cancer sets sail on the Silver Sea Silver Ray. It's an intimate ship with an even better experience. It's all-inclusive of beverages, shore excursions, taxes, and gratuities. Sail to bucket list ports like the Grand Turk, St. Martin, and St. Thomas. With Buckeye greats including Ryan Day, Bobby Carpenter, A.J. Hawk, the Boren Brothers, Ezekiel Elliott, Ryan Shazier, and more. Sailing from Fort Lauderdale, February 17th through the 24th. Call 614-792-6204 to book today.
Join Rothman and Ice every Thursday at 2:30 for Gold Jacket Thursday.
Presented by the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
A new Hall of Famer joins the show every week. But not OJ, because he's dead and probably a murderer. The Fan.
New creamy parm pizzas are now at Donato's. A decadent new sauce on two delicious new pizzas. Try the crave-worthy chicken veggie parm with roasted chicken, fresh veggies, and that rich, creamy parm base. Or the savory bacon spinach parm, where smoky bacon meets fresh spinach for parm pizza perfection. Craving something different? Create your own creamy parm pizza today. Donato's. Gotta love more.
Go behind the scenes of one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single-person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours. Presented by Experience Columbus.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of clouds around, mainly dry and breezy. Temperatures holding in the low 40s on this Monday. Overnight down to the mid-30s with mild temperatures and rain showers moving in. Showers out early on Tuesday. Winds pick up, but so do the temperatures. Back in the low 50s by the afternoon. With your 10 weather impact forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Jerry Martz on The Fan.
Someone out there probably thinks we spend too much time talking about the Buckeyes. Please tell someone that they're stupid. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Never enough Buckeyes. National champion Joshua Perry. I'm Matt Fontana, and we got some things to dive into with Ohio State as we're ready to go for the Buckeyes and the Hurricanes coming up. And speaking of that, I do want to get this a little bit later in the show. We got to take a look at Miami because now we finally know who it is. And going into that game on Saturday, Joshua, like I wanted Miami. Now I got Miami, so it kind of works out that way. And obviously, that was probably, you know, I'm sorry to James Madison and Tulane. I don't really count those other games, but like, you know, the Oklahoma Alabama game was fine, but that game at noon was just like, it was not a good football game. So I would say that the Buckeyes are well prepared for either, but I am glad that it is the Hurricanes that we got to face.
I know this is not like a, you know, open up the conversation to it, but we cannot continue to allow the powers to have a weekend like that in the playoffs.
Oh, it
was miserable. And I agree with you. The Friday night game, that was a lot of fun. It looked like it wasn't going to be a good game. And then Alabama finally decided that they wanted to play ball. But, you know, 10-3 Saturday morning, and I get part of it was the wind, and they couldn't make kicks, whatever the case was. Those teams, they did not tackle well. There were a lot of mistakes. The ball ended up on the ground. And then the two late games with the G5 teams in them, like it was really tough. I'm with you though. I wanted Miami because I'm here for the storyline. People joke about it all the time that Ohio State ended Miami's program and their reign and the whole deal. So yeah, to have that factor in there, I'm here for. But it also does feel like Texas A&M would have been that's the matchup where Ohio State really could eat, because I've looked at Texas A&M's defense all year and I was like, I'm not sure how good they are. So I think Miami presents a legitimate challenge. And listen, you start looking at the way this bracket could be. To play Miami, probably have to play Georgia. Like, Ohio State's going to have to bring all they've got in this postseason.
For sure. And that's, you know, again, the two teams have differences on what you got to worry about. Like, the Texas A&M receivers scared me much more, you know, than Miami's. But then Fletcher, who basically just put that game on his back. Yep. And willed them to a win. So we'll get to that coming up, because I do think both teams, like, I feel good about it, but there was differences about it. Jeremiah Smith's ready to go, though. Of course, injured late in the season, missed a game, came back, you know, he's Jeremiah Smith, right? And the importance that he is to this program, but still hampering through a pretty serious injury. Let's hear from him earlier today where he kind of chronicles exactly what he was fighting through towards the end of the season. Here's Jeremiah Smith.
A little adversity, I should say. Something I never really had to deal with. I don't really be hurt or nothing like that. Nothing really bothers me, but that was something serious that I had to deal with. You know, after that, you know, was it Rutgers week? I was, you know, feeling down. Like, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to play against Team of North. Like, so I was debating if I was going to play or not because it was really bad. I didn't know if I was going to be able to play. But I had to do, you know, everything for the team, and I wanted to be out there, and I did everything I could, and we got the win.
That's Jeremiah Smith. Quad contusion was what he was dealing with. And Joshua, I've never had one. I'm assuming it was something pretty serious to kind of keep him out. But, you know, the other thing I thought of was, I'm like, he's a receiver. He needs his speed. Like, that's probably not something that's conducive to playing at a high-level wide receiver is a quad injury like that. But, I appreciate him so much gutting that out and getting out there because he said it wasn't going to miss the Michigan game. He got out there. He was out there for the Big Ten championship. But to hear that he's 100% healthy, that's one of the best pieces of news that I think any Ohio State fan could get today.
I tend to agree with that. The quad contusion is a tough one. Obviously, quad's a big muscle, and it feels stiff when you have the contusion. So you don't have that ability to explode. We saw when he was limping around, kind of swinging his leg, like it's certainly painful. And the idea that he and Carnell were both able to figure out a way to just like gut it out and to be available for their team when they were needed most, I think is, it speaks to the type of players that those two are. I think the other thing that's probably not really being said here is Michigan game and against Indiana in the Big Ten championship. Like neither one of those guys were 100%. Like they were at a point where they could play and they were still making plays. But for them to be fresh now, headed into the postseason and feeling at the top of their game, what's your game plan? What you gonna do? Four trots out in the field. How you guarding them? 17's over there. What you gonna do with them? Right? And I think that's the threat that they present to everybody. But now knowing that they're 100% back to full speed and rested, it's gonna be game over.
Absolutely. And I think another thing about the Ryan Day play calling is that's another wrinkle where I know he's called plays back, you know, in his time at Ohio State. He hadn't really called plays for Jeremiah Smith. He's not called plays with Carnell Tate and this offense. So that's another wrinkle that Miami doesn't really get to prepare for. And then when you add in that Jeremiah Smith's a little motivated. So we know he is from, of course, Miami, the Miami area. We went to high school, Miami Gardens. And the question was asked, like, you know, being from South Florida, man, the Hurricanes fans, they still talk about Ohio State's victory back in 2003, like you brought up a little earlier, Josh. And he said, oh, for sure, it's all over down there, all over Twitter. They're still talking about it 20 years later. He said they're still worried about it, but we've got something for him come New Year's Eve. So I loved hearing that, to be able to send that back down to some of his, I would assume all his friends and family are Ohio State fans now, but from his area growing up down there in Miami, let those Canes fans know, yeah, we haven't forgot about that national championship either.
Have you seen, like, Miami Twitter? Do you see the tweets?
I see some, like, and I feel like it's, I know the buzzword there, but it's like a lunatic fringe.
Yeah.
I work with some people on the ESPN side of it that are big Miami fans and Miami broadcasters and things like that. So I see some of it for sure.
It feels like their whole fan base on Twitter is the lunatic fringe, right? Like, I mean, they talk trash 24/7, like, ultimately confident, will not let it go. They feel like a crime was committed against them when Ohio State won that national title. They won't let it go. So I think the banter leading up to the game ought to give us a lot of fun, too.
And it is interesting just to kind of make a comparison between that team and now, because that Miami team, what did I always say, right? Like, arguably one of the best assembled rosters of all time, especially with what a lot of those players went and did in the NFL. Now, I look back as an Ohio State fan, I'm like, there are a lot of good Ohio State players on that team, too. And I think about the your guys' national championship, right? Like, how many stacked players were on that team, right? But I think about it on this opposite side, where you've got that with Ohio State, where you've got arguably the best offensive player in Jeremiah Smith, arguably the best defensive player in Caleb Downs. You've got a guy like Arvell Reese that is projected to be, could be, I don't say the number one pick because you know the quarterbacks will go ahead of him, but at least number one on some people's big boards as the best player for the draft, where now it's flipped that this Ohio State team is starting to look like the all-star team against Miami.
It is such a unique thing when you think about the talent, but I will say, it to me, that is a level of pressure because the expectation is sky high, and it's been like that, right? Like, these guys know what they have to do, and they drop the first opportunity in kind of like this championship postseason mentality against Indiana. And I think back to when I was playing in 2015, like, we had that mentality, like, this is our year, we're going to do it again because we were so talented. And it stings a little bit more when you have that L. And we had ours in the regular season against Michigan State, and I'd wake up twice a week in a cold sweat thinking about that game. But for these guys to have it with an opportunity to come back and still be alive for a national title, like, I think they're going to be very edgy, very dangerous, because it had been, you know what, 16 games without losing, and you taste that pain of losing again, and you don't want to feel that. So I think the combination of, as you said, supreme talent going up against Miami with like all the fanfare of what that game's going to be, plus this edgy mentality of having to stew on a loss for 3 weeks, a month, mm-hmm. like, that's dangerous to me.
And speaking of that, let's hear from Julian Sain coming up, because he spoke today about kind of sitting back and after the loss. I know Max Clair's kind of pointing about it because there's been so much time off after that. How are the Buckeyes getting ready to go? That all comes your way in just 2 minutes. It is the Buckeye Show right here on the
O'Reilly Auto Parts puede ayudarte a revisar tu Luz Check Engine, Luz ABS o Luz de Mantenimiento con O'Reilly Veriscan. El servicio es gratis y recibirás un informe con soluciones verificadas por técnicos maestros certificados ASE. Si necesitas ayuda, O'Reilly Auto Parts te puede recomendar un taller. Pregunta por O'Reilly Veriscan hoy mismo. O'Reilly
Auto Parts. Methods, your authorized Ricoh dealer can help your business optimize your print production with a competitive advantage. Our digital printing options will expand the type of paper and substrates from what your business can print on today. Add variable data capability, which allows for personalization of catalogs and mailers, and the ability for short-run label printing, which allows your business to print high volumes of custom labels quickly and on demand. Want to learn more? Start with a print assessment at momnet.com. Why risk it? You can count on Mom.
Don't miss a minute of the Ohio State football postseason presented by CareSource, Kroger, and Spectrum. Celebrate the culmination of the 2025 season with all of Buckeye Nation and follow along on the official athletic site. From the opening postseason kickoff to the final whistle in Miami, we have you covered. It's the 2025 Ohio State football postseason presented by CareSource, Kroger, and Spectrum. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com/postseasoncentral2025 now for more information. Go Bucks!
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
We here at The Fan believe there's no such thing as too much Ohio State coverage. You're locked in to The Buckeye Show.
And we'll hear from some of the Ohio State football defensive players as they're getting ready to go for their media availability prior to the Miami game, which is still just a week and a half away. Welcome back. It's the Buckeye Show. He's Joshua Perry. I'm Matt Fontaine. We have the offensive players earlier today and Ryan Day, so we'll hear from some of them coming up. But the defensive guys coming up as well. And we'll take a look at those Miami Hurricanes as well, because I think about the Ohio State offense, the Ohio State defense, and just really what side of the football is going to have to play the way that you need to. And I understand it's both of them, but you usually got an edge one way or the other versus those Hurricanes. So we'll get to that coming up. But I want to hear from Julian Sain, quarterback, of course, Heisman finalist. And Joshua, you guys had to deal with this because I looked this up. I was going to save this for later, but there's an eerie similarity between your team that won the national championship and this team, because you guys won the Big Ten championship game on December 6th, and then you had to play on January 1st in the at that time there was only four, and you guys beat Alabama on January 1st. This Ohio State team also won the Big Ten championship game on December 6th, and they play December 31st. So there's only a day difference, but it is almost the exact same amount of time between winning the Big Ten championship and their first game played. So you guys had to deal with that time off. Like, I can only imagine that you start to go a little stir crazy, and was different probably for you guys because you knew you were playing Alabama.
Yes, it was. I think Urban was meticulous about planning in a lot of ways and details into the program. And so we broke our time up basically into three phases. Phase one was staying in football shape, basically, and recovery and like getting back to the basics of the game. And then phase two was like more football specific drill work, planning, that type of stuff. And then phase three was game week. So, you know, just getting into the game plan. And I think compartmentalizing the time off that way really helped us because you had something specific to work on. I think if you're going out there every day and you're just like, okay, it's time for 7-on-7. It's time for 9-on-7, right? Like it's time for the, you know, tackling drills, and there's not a real purpose to what you're doing for that part of practice. That's when you start to find the trouble. So I'm sure Ryan Day has had a plan similar, to make sure that his team can be locked in and engaged. But it is difficult. It is very hard to make sure that you come out with that same intensity, that same edge, feeling like you're still locked in to a rhythm that got you into the postseason. And in particular with these guys, a lot of guys doing the awards circuit as well, like the travel kind of throws off your routine and all those different things that go into it. So again, plan had to be locked in. I think Ryan Day's dialed it in.
And you guys are coming off a win because you won that Big Ten championship game. I was there. You guys smoked Wisconsin. It was a lot of fun. And then you go off and get ready to go to a national championship. This team is coming off that loss to Indiana. Let's hear from Julian saying, one of the guys, like you mentioned, on that award circuit had some time off. And he just spoke about this time off and kind of looking back on their last game. Here's Julian saying.
Just as an offense, you know, we have to execute better. You know, a lot of it's, you know, on me. I gotta, you know, can't hold on to the ball as long, and, you know, get the ball out of my hand and, you know, keep us on schedule. You know, when we get sacked and getting those third and long, second and longs, it makes it tougher on our offense. So just, you know, being able to, you know, keep us on schedule and, you know, get us into the right play.
And I think that's so obviously mature from a guy that's a first-year starter to sit there and say, you know, he could sit there, Joshua, and say, dude, I was at the Heisman. You know, right. I was a finalist. Like, we're good. You know, Jeremiah was banged up. Carnell was banged up. Like, we'll be fine. Like, no, he's still being super perfection, and this is where I can be better. This is where we need to be better, because he had another quote that I loved where he goes, the best players play their best in the best games. Mm-hmm. The biggest moments, the biggest games, those are the ones that people create legacies and you want to show up and play for. So I just love hearing that from him. Like, do I want these guys walking around sulking and stewing for weeks because they lost to Indiana? Not necessarily. Use it as that motivation and get ready to go for Miami. And that's the real vibe I got from some of these guys today.
It's exactly what you said. And I do want them to stew. We can't sulk. We can't live in the past. Mm-hmm. But like, you got to feel that burn that you missed an opportunity to cap off one of your goals there. I think the other part, when you talk about maturity for Julian saying too, it would have been just as easy for him to be like, well, you know, there were a lot of other factors that were at play for why that happened, right? Instead of being like, nope, I got to have a better clock when I'm in the pocket. And if it's not there, I got to get the ball out. Because we all saw what happened in that football game. There were times where he couldn't have made the right decision because he was under pressure so early in the down. And so again, for him, it's just like, he wants to own his job, and he knows as the quarterback, people are going to look to him, and he's ultimately the one with the ball in his hands. He's got the final say on what happens during a down. But like, I love the extreme ownership. And once again, like, he's got that thing that I think the great ones have, where he's just kind of cool, right? Like, he never seems like he's super flustered. He's just kind of cool, says the right thing. He's a team guy. Players love him, and that's what you want.
Other news coming out from today on that offensive line, because you mentioned it, where the pressure was kind of getting to Julian Sain a little bit, is that at right guard. So Tegger Trishbola, he's going to be out weeks with his injury, unfortunately. So sounds like Josh Padilla might get the first crack at that. He's played a little bit. Game Van Sickle, the freshman, redshirt freshman, he might kind of rotate in there. And, you know, Joshua, like, obviously that could be a huge concern, right, where you're missing somebody in the offensive line and you'd like Tegger to be out there, but we know what happened this season, and there were some tough times there. So I look at it and I say, yeah, you want people to, if they can play, but this sounds like an injury pretty serious that's going to sideline him for these weeks. So I guess the time off, the combination that Padilla's played a little bit, again, I'd like Tegger to be out there, but if he can't be, I'm feeling okay about that switch that's going to have to happen there.
Yeah, Tegger had some rough moments this year, no doubt. And I will be very curious if the guard rotation ends up being better than the last time we saw Tegra, the last couple of performances we saw to him, there's going to be this question about, you know, did you need an injury to have to make this move? Because it has been the biggest weakness on this offense, is you felt like the right guard in particular was gettable. If you could put him into conflict, you could have success. So I think there's part of this where it's like, you want all of your best players out there. But the question in my mind is, was he always the best fit for the job? And clearly Ohio State thought so. Like, you watch him practice every day. You keep putting him out there. He had to be the best one, but now he's down. Van Sickle, Padilla, like, somebody has to step up into a spot that was the weak spot on the offense.
And the rest of the offensive line, knowing that those guys have been pretty solid for most of the season, like, you feel good about the rest of them. Certainly Hinsman, we heard from him today, but I feel just good about that unit and what they've been able to do, not just in the pass game, but certainly with the rush game. And that kind of comes back to the Indiana game, where Ohio State, not by any fault of their own, you know, the challenges that they had during the season, like, it really was going to come down to the Texas game, which was their first game out of the year. Penn State was not the game that everybody thought it was going to be. You took care of business against Michigan. And, you know, frankly, I thought Indiana just had a really good game plan in that Big Ten championship game. So they weren't necessarily tested for a long streak of that. But when they did face some of the better teams, like, that's the experience that they're going to have make some of these changes and go up against the Miami team that certainly is going to be the best pass rush that you've seen all season, hands down.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot to say on that Miami pass rush. I will say this, though, is I keep going back to watching the Big Ten championship game, and I know that the offensive line had a not a great day. Mm-hmm. But I think that it wasn't as bad in some aspects as people want to make it, because if you look at the stat sheet and the box score, you see the rushing number, and it's like, it's not that great. Well, part of the reason why is in college football, they take the sack yardage out of your rushing total. Like, I thought Bo played a pretty good game, right? Like, he ran it well, especially for a young player on that stage. Like, there are things that they have done well, even though maybe it didn't feel like it in the immediacy. I think we'd be talking about it a little bit differently if the two times you got downside the 10-yard line, you end up scoring points, right? Like, we talk about the offensive performance very differently if that's the case. So certainly they got to be on high alert, right? And if there's one group that I'm looking at as they go to play Miami, it's going to be the offensive line, because the bookend rushers for the Hurricanes can ruin your day. And they were in the backfield for A&M a lot. They've been in a lot of people's backfields. They'll have Ohio State's attention, but I think this is a more than capable enough group to get the job done.
100%. All right, let's do that. Let's get right to the Miami Hurricanes coming up here, because we got to take a look at them as we get ready to go. You know, the Buckeyes got plenty of time. As soon as they found out Saturday morning, they knew who's going to be. Got a week plus to get ready for Miami. So let's take a look at their season. Let's talk about some of the players on the team that we're worried about, including their two ends that are going to be somebody to watch, two people to watch for this game coming up. He's Joshua Perry. I'm Matt Fontana. It's the Buckeye Show right here on The Fan.
O'Reilly Auto Parts puede ayudarte a revisar tu Lux Check Engine, Lux ABS o Lux de mantenimiento con O'Reilly Veriscan. El servicio es gratis y recibirás un informe con soluciones verificadas por técnicos maestros certificados ASE. Si necesitas ayuda, O'Reilly Auto Parts te puede recomendar un taller. Pregunta por O'Reilly Veriscan hoy mismo. O'Reilly
Auto Parts. Come on over to Heartland and join our family.
Now, getting ahead in this world is not as complicated as it might seem. Having the early guidance and counsel of your community banker, one who knows you and your family story, can make a great deal of difference. Relationships matter. Bank on community banking. I'm Scott McComb, coming over to Heartland, where banking really feels good.
Where banking feels good.
Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
They're trained. They're prepared.
Let's do it.
They're Ohio's undefeated plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling team. And they're here to tackle your problems. For plumbing, drain, heating, and cooling, there's only one team. The Waterworks. Better care, better value, better results. Call the Waterworks at 614-232-2222. Or visit them online at thewaterworks.com. A proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Picture it.
your holiday table, the family cooking together, the scent of golden brown bread, rosemary from roasted potatoes, and a salad so crisp it snaps, spiced cider in every glass, laughter around every plate. At Kroger, we know these moments matter, and we make it easier to bring them to life with quality that's affordable in every aisle. This season, don't just host. Make every moment unforgettable. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
AgPro has been family-owned and operated for over 64 years. We take pride in developing long-lasting relationships and offering first-class customer service. Need a new tractor, parts for your used equipment, or reliable service? AgPro has you covered. AgPro is here to serve you and your operation as your hometown dealer. Visit us today at any of our AgPro locations or go online to agproco.com to get started with your AgPro experience.
The Buckeyes are back in the playoffs, and the Fan and 10 TV are back with Chasing the Championship.
Sponsored by Logan Services.
Keep it locked on the Fan, 10 TV, and 10 TV Plus, your home of the Buckeyes.
The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. All Buckeyes, all the time.
You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
Well, we finally got an opponent for the Buckeyes. It is the Miami Hurricanes. Didn't know if they were going to make it. They make it. They're here. Take care of business against Texas A&M, and they got a date against the Buckeyes. He's Joshua Perry. I'm Matt Fontana. We got you for the Buckeye Show tonight, taking you up till 8 o'clock right here on The Fan. And, you know, before we kind of dive in, so I think at this point, Joshua, everyone is kind of, you know, watch that game. And I get the weather was bad. It was just, you know, I was joking with somebody this week. I go, sometimes there's good, bad football games. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a terrible game. You're like, man, it's entertaining, and I enjoy this. It was a lot of fun. And then you have just bad, bad football mm-hmm. games, and I think that's what we got between Miami and Texas A&M. But somebody had to win, and it was the Hurricanes.
Yeah, that was bad football. And again, like the college football playoff expansion for the first 2 years, like first weekend really hasn't delivered. There haven't been great games, but to see one with so few points and some of the weapons that are out there for either team was really shocking. I think that there were some points in that game where Miami was outplayed by Texas A&M. In particular, it was A&M's offense being able to move the ball the way that they did while Carson Beck was over there, like barely completing passes, and Mario Cristobal was like not actively trying to run the football for a large portion of that game, which was super shocking the way that Fletcher was playing. So like it's a unique way that it ended up playing out, because Miami had the critical plays in the time when they needed it, and they were able to establish the line of scrimmage toward the end of the game and just run it down A&M's throat. But watching their offense in particular, like you start to ask the question, how many points do you think they can actually muster up against this Ohio State defense the way that they played all season long?
100%. And that, like, even going into that game, like, I picked Texas A&M. I thought they were going to win that game. And it was mostly because of Marcel Reese or Reed versus Carson Beck. Like,
sure.
I would have taken Reed. Like, Casey Concepcion, I actually thought was going to be the best skill position player on the field for every team. But then I was getting ready. I go, if Miami does win this game, it's going to have to be Mark Fletcher.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, to your exact point, for some reason, Mario Cristobal didn't believe that until later on. And then eventually, he did win them that football game. So this Miami team, like, when you break it down, points per game was only 27th in the nation. They're only 44th when it comes to yards. Like, they seem to be just kind of like a top 20. If mm-hmm. that, you know, maybe really closer to the 30s on the offensive side, which again is going to be good for the Ohio State defense to get after it. But really, we start to circle their defense,
right,
which is pretty much by all metrics a top 10 defense. Now, so is Ohio State's offense in a lot of different ways, but just yards per play given up, points game given up, especially trying to run the football is really hard against this Miami team. There is some openings more on the pass side of things, which I think is a recipe for disaster for them,
mm-hmm.
trying to cover Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate. But I'd like to see Ohio State run the ball and kind of set that tone a little bit. But with that Miami defense, it's led by Bane, you know, and then especially, you know, Akeem Mezidor, mm-hmm. where a name that I don't think a lot of big name college football fans, like Bane, everybody knew, because like there's conversation, he could have been a top five pick. Now all of a sudden he's got short arms, and you know, here we are.
Here we go.
Right? Oh, he's got short arms. He's better as a D tackle. But you know, Bane was one, but Mezidor certainly had that coming out party in that game. And two guys, like we were talking about the offensive line, Josh, I mean, they're going to have to be on their P's and Q's, because those guys can completely take over and wreck a game.
Yeah, I mean, Bane's the one that, as you mentioned, people know about. And again, very good pass rusher. Those guys are also good defending against the run, too. They're not these rushers that all they want to do is get after quarterbacks. Like, they play real football up front, and they're strong in the interior of their defensive line. Mezidor is actually the one for me that I think is a more dangerous rusher, which is crazy because he's not getting the hype, but like they try to double team him too. They try to get chips on him too. Like, he is a legitimate guy. So for Ohio State, that is objective number one, is you got to neutralize what the Miami defensive front can do. If you do that, I think that there are yards to be had against this Miami team. I mean, I'm part of the thing where I'm trying to figure out this Miami defense is, do I think any of the teams that they have played have anything close to what Ohio State has offensively?
Great question.
Right. Notre Dame at the beginning of the year, and Notre Dame, like, with a bad game plan, was still able to create some plays on them. But then you go through, like, I don't know where the next team comes that even profiles anywhere close to what Ohio State is.
There's not one. You're right. And I mean, I was even looking at kind of their schedule, because I'm not trying to like be a prisoner of the moment here and freak out, but like, of all the teams with bad losses to potentially keep them out of the playoff, Miami might have the worst too. They lost to 2-8-4 teams, yep, in Louisville and SMU. And I get that SMU, they made the playoff last year, kind of feeling that, but that was in a span of 3 weeks. They lost to Louisville, they came back, they smoked Stanford, who's no good, and then came back and lost to SMU in overtime. Like, what's their marquee win? They beat Pitt 38-7. They don't even have a, outside of Notre Dame,
it's the week one, right? It's basically been the whole hinge point of their season is what they did week one, was their whole playoff resume.
And that's where, I mean, a whole nother conversation that we might get to a little bit later at a future point about the makeup of the college football playoff and why they have so many in the schedule and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, there was that. I don't think Miami, I don't know, it's hard, because like, I look back on it now and I go, were they really at risk of not making it? Because you see how it went, it seemed like they were more of locked for Notre Dame. Like, let me put it this way, I thought Notre Dame was going to make it more than them, and people say, well, you know, look, they lost to Texas A&M and they lost to Miami, and you know, how can you put them in? But like, Miami was a team for a long time, Joshua, I was like, I don't know if this team belongs to be in there or not.
They didn't look like they were getting better. Like, that middle portion of the season, I think, was huge cause for concern. And then after that, there wasn't really any team on there where you could be like, okay, this is a tough opponent that's like college football playoff caliber that they went out and they just handled business against. They were trying to put up style points toward the end of the year. I mean, like, it's one of those things where, you know, all you need is a little bit of life and just to get in. And we saw what happened with Ohio State last year. You get in, you go on a run, right? Like, teams can do that. I just don't think this Miami team scares me in the idea that they're going to make a run. Their defense will be a challenge. I also think, like, our wide receivers are going to match up really well against that secondary. Their offense, if they come out and decide that they're going to be a team that can run it the way they did at the end of the A&M game, maybe that slows the game down some, but I don't trust Carson Beck. Malachi Toney, very good young player, too, yep, much gimmick with him, right? Like, I just don't see a way that they score enough points that I would be super fearful as a fan trying to break this game down.
No, and that's it. Like, if you give them the defense, which certainly is the best side of it, and specifically we're talking about the pass, where I was really watching Frederick and then Brown, their two corners, and I really like Keontae Scott, their nickelback, too. But Brown and Frederick are both taller guys. Like, they're legit 6'2" out there, because I was like, man, a lot of times, you know, Jeremiah, Carnell, they just got the size advantage. But I just in watching that, and specifically on KC Concepcion, which, again, I'm a big fan of his, and I'm not trying to make this sound to be the shot that he would be the third or fourth receiver on this Ohio State
team. No doubt.
He's the best receiver on Texas A&M. And again, I was waiting to see him be the number one guy on that field from the skill position. And whether or not that was he was getting locked down by Miami or what exactly was happening just in the flow of the game or exactly what Marcel Reed was trying to do, but I didn't see him take that game over, and I didn't see him kind of be the player that I thought he was going to be in that. So I'd sit there and say, yeah, you could feel good about it to sit there and say, well, he's not the receiver that Jeremiah Smith or Carnell Tate are, but they kept him in pain. I guess the whole thing I'm kind of coming around to is I don't really read into what they did to shut down Casey Concepcion in that game.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I think they probably said that guy's not going to beat us, but they also allowed other guys to make some plays. Like Mario Craver still almost had a 100-yard game.
Right.
Against that defense, right? The tight end, Nate Borkisher, who I'm transferred from Nebraska, he's not better than the tight ends that Ohio State has.
Get ready for Cass Barrett and Claire. They both should feed in this.
I mean, they love the tight ends this year anyway. Like, if there's a game, this is the one. They did not defend against the tight end very well at all.
I got to bring up T-Bone because he sent a tweet about when Ryan Day took over the play calling and T-Bone goes, good, can I stop seeing all these three tight end sets? And I go, no, T-Bone, no, you're going to see them. You're going to like them because I really think that that's what was working. And I get that kind of in the grand scheme of Jeremiah fighting through injury and Carnell fighting through the injury. I think that kind of led to more of those big tight end sets. But in this game against Miami, that I want them to attack the strength of the Miami run defense because that's the best thing that Miami's got going for them, frankly, in my opinion, maybe either side of the ball. But go attack that. Get right after that, and that'll kind of open those things up for the receivers on the outside. But that would lend yourself to more of those three tight end sets and seeing some of those guys
out. So I'll tell you the other part about the tight ends being out there too is when you feel like you need to have heavier bodies out there to get a couple yards in the run game, that's part of it, right? And so, again, when we talk about this offensive line and kind of that being one of the focal points here, those guys are just moving people off the line of scrimmage. And, you know, all you need is maybe a chip or something in pass pro instead of trying to do max pro. It changes things up. But, yes, I think this is a game where you still let them play. You use them if for no other reason than to help create space in the pass game, too, because you have to account for how good these guys are catching the football. Like it becomes a very useful tool, even though I know a lot of fans are kind of tired of seeing the tight ends on the field right now.
I love it. I love it. I like seeing it. I like seeing the big guys out there, and I do think there's going to be that opening coming up for the Miami defense as well. Want to turn things back to Ryan Day because he is taking over the play calling. Matt Patricia speaking, actually, as we are doing the show right now, and he was kind of asked about it because Ryan Day was just being the head coach and overseeing everything. Does him taking over the play calling change anything for the defense when it comes to their preparation for Miami? And I really want to get Joshua's thoughts on how much that changes when you have a new play caller. We'll get to all of it coming up. Buckeye Show right here on The Fan.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan.
Columbus. Town Properties just clinched the title of the largest residential property manager in Columbus, thanks to the Columbus Business Journal. With pride, we oversee 25,000-plus households in the Columbus metro area, ensuring fantastic places to call home. Whether you're on the hunt for an exceptional living space, a top-notch association management company, or a property manager for your multifamily portfolio, visit our website at town-properties.com and let us elevate your living experience. Town Properties, always managing great places to live.
Buckeye fans, this is for you. Level up with the brand new AAA Buckeyes MVP membership. You'll receive all the benefits of AAA, such as 24/7 roadside assistance, plus chances to win tickets to Ohio State sporting events, access to exclusive MVP experiences, along with 10% off select gear at the Ohio State Team Shop. Already a AAA member? Add the Buckeyes MVP membership for free. Head to AAA.com/Buckeyes to upgrade or join the squad and put your fandom in drive.
You get up early on snow days because snowed in is not an option. The Kubota snow lineup of compact tractors, RTVs, and versatile attachments are built to thrive in the winter. Right now, bring home select Kubota equipment with 0% financing available or save up to $4,000. Now through December 31st, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Find your local Kubota dealer at BuckeyeKubotaDealers.com.
Experience Buckeye game day like never before. Welcome to the 1922 Club, the most exclusive space inside Ohio Stadium, where luxury meets tradition in the heart of Buckeye Nation. Enjoy upscale food and beverages and a game day atmosphere like no other. Create lasting memories with friends and mingling with other Buckeye fans, and celebrate every OHIO in ultimate comfort. Become a member of the 1922 Club today. Memberships are limited. Visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus, The Fan.
Good evening, I'm Isaiah Jacob. The Kansas City Chiefs announced beginning in 2031 they will play their games in a new dome stadium. The announcement comes after Kansas lawmakers approved a proposal to help pay for the new stadium for the team. In college football news, Notre Dame and BYU have agreed to a home-and-home series beginning next season, which marks a halt in the Fighting Irish's longtime annual series with USC for the foreseeable future. Tonight in the NBA, Cavs are back in action, hosting the Charlotte Hornets, tip-off just minutes away. And then later on, the CBJ are on the late slate at 10 p.m. They travel to Los Angeles to play the Kings. You can hear it right here on The Fan. Pre-game coverage begins at 9:30. Tomorrow, OSU Hoops hosts Grambling State at 2 p.m. Buckeyes look to get back on track before getting into the heart of Big Ten play. This update was sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling. Together to serve you better. Scheduled today at thewaterworks.com. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
We drinking the scarlet and gray Kool-Aid? You bet we are. You're listening to the Buckeye Show.
Well, it's a little change for the Buckeyes, getting ready to go for the Miami Hurricanes, and that Ryan Day back at the helm of calling plays. How does that change the team? How does that change things for his quarterback? He's Joshua Perry. I'm Matt Fontana with the Buckeye Show tonight, right here on The Fan. We'll take you up till 8 o'clock, and we'll hear from Julian Sane just in a second, but Joshua, I wanted to ask you, like, what's that changed like? And I know you obviously were a defensive player, but you still have play calls coming in on the defensive side of things as well. Like, put yourself in the shoes. Is this something that's seamless? Is it something that's just like a small like change? Is this a big change? Because Ryan Day hasn't called plays for a lot of the skilled players on this offense. Like, kind of walk me through your thoughts on Ryan Day back at the helm of calling plays here.
I think it should be pretty seamless for these guys. You know, Ryan Day is the mastermind behind the offense. And even if somebody else is calling plays, you know he's got the influence into what he wants it to look like. The biggest difference is, like, you know, Ryan probably get on the headset and when they're going through a drive and be like, oh, you know, want to take a shot here, you should call a pass here, whatever the case is. Well, now he's just going to be doing it. So it's going to be the shot that he wants or the pass that he wants or the run that he specifically likes. So that would be a difference. I think during the week, and we've already heard the players talk about it, but during game week, the prep and the voice in the room kind of installing what the game plan is going to be is different there. So that would be another major difference. And then finally, like, I don't know who had the walkie-talkie to actually, you know, phone in the play to Julian, but there will be a difference for him too. You know, if it was Brian Hartline, he had a certain cadence and the way that he liked to call it.
Yeah.
And now it's Ryan Day, and maybe Ryan Day is one of those guys. I had coaches. I used to wear the green dot when I was in the league. You have the coaches who are like, hey, make sure you tell the defensive tackle that he needs to get over into a shade, and then make sure you tell the safety to hold his disguise, and then make sure you tell the corner, and it's like, dog, just give me the play, right? Like, that is also something that can become different in this whole thing too. So, I think it's mostly seamless because it's all the same language. It's all the same offense, all those different things. It's just the minor differences of how guys actually like to call plays or what plays they like to pick is going to be the change.
Look at your coach, like, why don't you tell them this? Like, tell them to do their jobs. What do I got to sit here and tell them how to do their jobs? But it's not an easy thing. It's not easy to get that and get the play call and get it all through. So there's going to be a little bit of change, but I'm with you. Like, the fact that Ryan Day's been here, it's always been his offense, is certainly making it easier for the Buckeyes on that. Here's Matt Patricia, because the defensive guys are talking now, and I want to bring up something that Sonny Styles is talking about a little bit later, but Matt Patricia was asked about kind of the defensive side of the ball and his coaches now that Ryan Day is calling the plays, and he said, quote, in general, Coach Day does a great job of coaching the team. He's really involved with all three aspects, making sure that we're approaching everything the right way, playing the game the right way, and all the pieces coming together, and puts us in the best situation to win. So, you know, and thanks to 11 Warriors for that quote, but I would imagine that's something that, again, is felt through the team because it was going this way. This is how we were handling things. And maybe, I don't wanna, you know, Josh, I don't want to say that Ryan Day's like not as in tune with the defense because he's got to focus more on the offense. Like, I fully expect him to be doing the same. And I think the nice thing is you do have so much time. As much as I languish on having to wait to watch Ohio State play, there is so much time that Ryan Day can still be as attentive on the defensive side as he was, even though now he's calling plays.
Yeah, it's intriguing when you have a head coach that can roam, because Urban was that guy. He didn't call plays, but you know, he spent most of the time with the offense because he was like, oh man, the receiver's got to look like this and the offensive line, whatever the case was, until there was a problem on defense. And then he's breathing down our neck. And there wasn't a problem really on either side of the ball. So I'm sure Ryan Day was very particular and very intentional about where he would spend time during practice and what he wanted to see. Well, now you just have to be able to trust Matt Patricia that he can handle everything for the defense, because Ryan Day is going to have to spend much more time with the offensive side of the ball as they're getting ready for this game. Now, I say that with all the confidence in the world that Matt Patricia doesn't need Ryan Day to come and make sure everything's good on his practice field. I mean, he's been a revelation, one of the best hires you could have made in the offseason. And so I think that kind of is where you would look in terms of Matt Patricia, just handle your business, because Ryan Day is not going to be as available during practice if you guys need to go back and forth on any conceptual questions.
Let's hear from Julian Sain, because that is going to be another factor in this, of Ryan Day in the headset calling the plays, maybe a different rhythm to things as well. But here's Julian talking about maybe they got a leg up on that already.
Yeah, it's been great having him with us. Just, you know, a great quarterback, coach and developer, and someone who really teaches the position really well. And, you know, we take so much from him. You know, just brings the best out of us and pushes us to be the best.
So he's been in there for a little while, you know, and that's Julian talking about that this change obviously was announced today, but I would imagine the team knew about it prior to that. So to have that leg up, Joshua, of, yeah, we got some weeks, we got practice, we're able to get everything to the level that we need it to. That's the Buckeyes using this extra time wisely. I'm making a change like this.
No doubt. And to me, it would always have made sense if Ryan Day said, for at least the initial portions of the preparation for a playoff run, I'm going to sit in there with my quarterback and I'm going to spend some time with him, because he, as well as he played this year, still a young player. This is still going to be a big stage. Got to make sure that he is comfortable with all the things that are going in. So I'm not exactly sure that it would have been so different for Ryan Day, but now it's out of necessity that he has to do this. It's not really just a decision that he gets to make here.
Yeah, and that's such a good point, because I did want to get into the Hartline side of things. And you know, we'll talk about Brian Hartline a little bit later, because apparently he's offering Jeremiah Smith's brother on the way out the door and the optics of how that looks. And like, welcome to college. You're going to blame anybody in this. Blame the schedule.
Right.
College football. We'll get to that in a second. But, you know, when you watch that Indiana game and have the high expectations that we all have, and to watch, frankly, a poor offensive performance. We all expect better on the offensive side of things. I think it's easy to sit there and just rubber stamp it and just say, oh, well, it's Hartline's fault. Hartline's fault. And he, you know, now's a perfect opportunity to make this change and kind of move on. When in reality, I do think there was a distraction there. And again, I'm not blaming Ohio State. I'm not blaming Brian Hartline. I'm blaming the college football schedule for being as screwed up as it is, because that's what led to it. But I just thought, yeah, let's eliminate this. Let's eliminate any of that. And I'm not saying that Brian Hartline wasn't giving fourth best effort, because of course he was. But Joshua, this is a life-changing opportunity for him. You know, even just on a personal level, his kids are going to have to, are they staying here to finish out the school year? Where are they living when they get down there? Got to start calling recruits. What's his staff look like? Like, all that kind of stuff. It'd weigh on any person. And Ohio State looking out for the best, Ryan Day looking out for his team that he knows he's going to be coaching next year, that's here. I just thought this was the best move for the team. And I do want to say, I appreciate that it seems like it's been very seamless from Brian Hartline's side of things too, because he could be mad. He could be leaking stuff out that he's upset by this type of decision or things like that. This seems to just been as professional as you could have ever asked it to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody just kind of gets it. And you mentioned it. This is all about the calendar in this sport that makes not a bit of sense to me. But I think Ryan Day totally understands what had to be done and what has to be done now because of that. I think Brian Hartline is like, he could be as upset as anybody. Oh, yeah. You're going to take my call sheet from me, all these different things. But in his mind, as a reasonable person, he's probably like sighing a little bit of a breath of relief.
Sure.
Where he doesn't have to do this. This is some of the stuff that he's probably dealing with right now. I haven't spoken to him, but just knowing how these transitions go. So he flies down there. They introduce him. He's getting a tour of all the facilities. He probably walks into the weight room and is like, oh my gosh, they don't have X, Y, and Z machine. Like, we need to get that ordered. Then he goes into the meeting rooms and he's like, you know, we need a certain type of furniture and we need a different computer, whatever. Like, that's the level of detail that the head coach at a program is dealing with. And this is his first time doing it. And he's got to do that while designing a game plan. Like, no, that doesn't make any sense. So I think everybody has to, if you like it, dislike it, whatever the case is, you just have to have a reasonable understanding of how it needs to go for the next month. So everybody can achieve the goals that they set out with at the beginning of the year.
Well, I just want to cut straight to it, too. He already got his job. It doesn't matter.
Right.
You take their play calling away. He's already USF going to come back and be like, oh, wait a minute. We didn't know you were going to take play calling away.
Yeah.
Not your job anymore. Like, he's got it. And like so many Buckeyes that go off, you wish him the best. As long as they're not playing Ohio State, go win all the games and be just fine with it. And it is something that, as well as Ohio State has been able to put forward and just kind of push past, like, I just think this was the right call in a lot of ways. And that's something they have the time to be able to relax and just kind of process this and go through it. And I also don't think it was just that knee-jerk reaction after that Indiana game. I have a feeling like this was something they really wanted to look at, really want to understand what was for the best, and understanding that Hartline, yeah, I mean, a human nature would be kind of looking forward to where he's going to be and where he's kind of going to the future. Speaking of that, I want to combo the conversations that we were kind of bringing up here, because there's a report out that Brian Hartline has offered Jeremiah Smith's brother, who's a three-star safety, a scholarship to USF. Now, he's a committed Buckeye. The optics of that versus the game that is actually getting played, and how it really comes back to the actual evil part of this is the NCAA football schedule. We'll get into that conversation coming up. Joshua Perry, Matt Fontana, it's the Buckeye Show right here on The Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And well, we smell a little, but oof, you've accepted that.
The scenes of one of the most recognizable landmarks in all of college athletics with a tour of Ohio Stadium presented by Experience Columbus. A seasoned redcoat will be your guide as you make your way through walls of the stadium into the press box and onto the field. Upgrade to the VIP package and get special access to the band center and the Ohio State home locker room. From corporate outings and school groups to single-person tours and small families, Ohio Stadium tours offer a variety of options and pricing. For more information, visit OhioStateBuckeyes.com and book your tour. Ohio Stadium Tours, presented by Experience Columbus.
'Tis the season to be hungry at Roosters. That's why for every $50 spent on Roosters gift cards, you'll receive a $10 Rooster Buck back in your stocking. May your holidays be filled with friends and family, love and laughter, and of course, Roosters Wings. Go to roosterswings.com today or drop by any Roosters location to purchase your $50 holiday gift cards and receive a $10 Rooster Buck in return. Happy holidays from all of us at Roosters. Roosters, a fun casual joint.
When it comes to your cancer diagnosis, the choice for your care is clear.
And when you choose the James at Ohio State,
you're opting for care from a highly specialized team dedicated to treating one type of cancer, yours.
A team that studies the unique makeup of your disease to develop a personalized treatment plan.
You're choosing our region's only comprehensive cancer center designated by the National Cancer Institute.
For your cancer care, the choice is clear. The James at Ohio State.
Toyota-thon is on, and there's no better way to get in the spirit of the season than with a new Toyota. Like the family-size Highlander and the bigger, more powerful Grand Highlander. Now through January 5th, you can get 4.75 APR financing on any remaining new 25 Highlander or Grand Highlander, including hybrid models, with approved credit through TFS. Plus, you get Toyota Care 2 years no-cost maintenance. For complete details, go to Toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Love football? Love wings? Put those bad boys together and you get Austin and Burn live at Roosters.
Sponsored by Roosters, a fun casual joint.
Large amounts of football and all the donkey sauce you can handle. Mondays on the Fans YouTube channel.
The 2026 Buckeye Cruise for Cancer sets sail on the Silver Sea Silver Ray. It's an intimate ship with an even better experience. It's all-inclusive of beverages, shore excursions, taxes, and gratuities. Sail to bucket list ports like the Grand Turk, St. Martin, and St. Thomas. With Buckeye greats including Ryan Day, Bobby Carpenter, A.J. Hawk, the Boren Brothers, Ezekiel Elliott, Ryan Shazier, and more. Sailing from Fort Lauderdale, February 17th through the 24th. Call 614-792-6204 to book today.
Hey, Ohio State fans. Next time that snack craving hits, Burger King has you covered with the O-Fry-O bundle. You get a medium fry, 8-piece chicken fries, 8-piece mozzarella fries, and an 8-piece chicken nuggets, all for just $10. It's perfect snack fuel for one, wherever and whenever you're cheering on the Scarlet and Gray. At BK, have it your way. You rule. Limited time only at participating Ohio area restaurants. BK is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Text extra.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Plenty of clouds around, a bit of a breeze, but for the most part dry on this Monday. Temperatures holding in the low 40s. Overnight, we'll drop back down to the mid to upper 30s with mainly cloudy skies and a couple of rain showers. Showers out, the winds pick up, as do the temperatures. Mostly cloudy skies and back in the low 50s by Tuesday afternoon. With your 10 weather impact forecast, I'm Chief Meteorologist Jerry Martz on The Fan.
The best damn radio show in the land. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
So the off-the-field stuff is very much a part of football, especially college. When it comes to recruiting, it comes to signing day. There's a lot of drama that can go with it. And there's a story about Brian Hartline potentially trying to get after a Buckeye commit. It's the Buckeye Show right here on The Fan. He's Joshua Perry. I'm Matt Fontana. And I saw the story today as we're getting ready to go for the show. And it's that Brian Hartline, as we've discussed, is on his way to be the head coach at USF. And the reports are out, Joshua, that he has then spoken and trying to get Angelo Smith, who is a three-star safety out of Miami and the younger brother of Jeremiah Smith, to potentially flip his recruit and join Hartline down at USF. Now, the interesting thing is Angelo, unfortunately, probably won't play with his brother because Jeremiah is going to play next year ahead to the NFL, and Angelo's not coming in until 2027. But all that aside, like, you know, I understand how the optics look of this, of like, listen, Angelo's committed to the Buckeyes. He's been committed to the Buckeyes. And for Brian Hartline to come in and try to, I don't want to use the word poach. That's what was put out on some articles, and it kind of is what it is. But I also look at it and I say, listen, this guy's trying to build his program. Like, would he be, I guess in a way, like, you would want Brian Hartline to be doing that to try to get every player that he could to come down and join him at USF. Like, I'm sure, I don't know how far this conversation went, but I'm sure if he could, he'd look at Jeremiah Smith and be like, are you really sure about, no, I'm just kidding. But like, you know, I just, that's what you want from a head coach. A guy trying to get the best players that he can to come to his program. So I could see, Joshua, this seems to be like a dirty thing. I don't read into it maybe how some are, but you know, listen, he's going to try to get the best players he can down there.
I mean, these types of situations intrigue me a ton, where you see coaches go off for new jobs and do they try to grab some players on the way out, current players that are on the roster, maybe some guys that are dissatisfied with the amount of playing time they've had at Ohio State or a place like Ohio State, take a step down, maybe play a little bit more, and then the recruiting aspect. And I guess the thing that stands out to me is like, what was the recruiting relationship like before the job offer? Because if this was a guy who was mainly recruited by Brian Hartline, like I would ask, I'd throw the offer out there and be like, you know, what's the relationship like? Like, do you trust me enough that you would come down here? Or are you going to be a Buckeye? And then that's the end of the conversation. I know a lot of people don't like that. And they're like, oh, why would you burn bridges on the way out? All this other stuff. Listen, man, it's recruiting. We know it's a dirty game, right? Like, the players are the players. You don't love to see it. But if I'm Hartline, I'm like, man, I only got a couple more checks coming from the Ohio State University. And then I got to build my own program. Like, I got to find some players to fill up the locker room.
And we now live in this transfer portal era that relationships are built. Why did Julian Sain come up to Columbus? Because he had a relationship even before he went to Alabama for that short time. Like, that stuff matters so much in this just transfer portal era where everybody's jumping everywhere as they go. And I think it just comes back to something that we're talking about earlier. This schedule for college football is just so completely broken. And I don't think it, here's the craziest thing for me on this, Josh, is that I don't think it serves anyone. It serves no one. Let's talk about the players, number one. It hurts the players in a way when, I know the Michigan scandal is just like a really specific, doesn't happen all the time type of situation, but you have, imagine if Kalen DeBoer actually does leave Alabama after next week, if they lose or win or things like that. Like, the early signing period, which I get, is just for some. There are some guys that, hey, I'm signing, I'm going here, there's really nothing that can change that. You know, the Chris Henry situation with Hartline leaving, I completely respect and understand why that took a little extra time. Okay, fine. But it's not serving the players. It's certainly not serving the coaches.
No.
That are sitting there trying to run around, worry about the transfer portal, worry about if you're in the college football playoff or not, if you're trying to get ready for a game while trying to build things out. It's not good for the schools themselves as they sit there and kind of the same thing of who's going where and who's playing where and things like that. And I don't think it's good for the NCAA when it comes to their money. Because all of this is not going to be good for the product, per se. I think it's good that Lane Kiffin isn't there with Ole Miss. I know they took care of business, but that you'd feel better about their chances moving forward if he was still there. All of this schedule just comes back to, I don't know why they can't just wait the extra month. You wait the extra month, there is no transfer portal, nobody's allowed to be hired at any job until the college football national championship is done. That's not going to be the way, though, because even though Brian Hartline is still employed by Ohio State, he's working the recruiting phones, and he's trying to get a recruiting class ready to go at USF. There's, you know, it's anywhere, right? It's in the pros. The team that gets off their coach the earliest has the head start to hire the next one. It, like you said, Josh, it's a dirty game. I just think it could be better when it comes to this scheduling because I just think it's so broken.
Well, Matt, I'll tell you this. I've made this take a million times about the calendar and how we do the postseason and all these things. I think they're really at odds right now. And the biggest example to me was actually what Lane Kiffin did because he didn't have the opportunity to stretch out his decision because LSU was like, dog, we got to have a coach by the time the portal opens. We want to start off the next semester being able to hit the ground running. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, okay, I have to make this decision on an opportunity when I have a team that is a playoff team. But I think Lane was like, we're not really a contender, even though we're a playoff team. So I should just go and take the opportunity that I was looking for. So I think you have this postseason that teams are actively looking at where they're at. The group of five coaches, the both of them did it, and Lane Kiffin did it, where they're like, there's a better opportunity somewhere else, even though I'm coaching a team that's playing in the college football playoff. So I'm going to take that next opportunity, whether the guys could stay and coach through the playoffs or not. I think that's pretty insane. The other thing that I've seen that is very disheartening and saw a couple of major examples of it a year ago was players that were like, hey, I know my team's trying to make a run to a national title here, but I need to transfer because I'm not going to play next year. So we're asking guys to leave their teams when they're playing for a championship. They're on a path to a championship because the portal is going to open and close. And I know that has been a thing that was fixed, but like the idea that you would even have to address that. And there's still going to be teams that are playing when the portal opens this year that would have to make that players would have to make that decision. To me, it is pure insanity. But what's the solution? Do you move the season up? Do you start the season for everybody week zero? Do you even try to maybe go a week earlier than that? Do you condense the time when the playoff starts? Like instead of having the 2 weeks off, do you just go? Like I don't really know what the proper solution is.
I would say, and this is just me kind of spitballing here, like, let's start with New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, because that's like, that is college football. That's their bowl games. That's when I think the quarterfinals are forever going to be played there, right? Okay, so then we move off. Then let's backtrack to that. Exactly. So then you're going to have to do a week out, and you got a fluky year this year, right, where it's on like a Wednesday and a Thursday, mm-hmm. or, you know. So, okay, so here we are. So then you got to go back to that. Then you backtrack to, okay, they got to have a week off between the college or between the conference championships and then the playoff, because the conference champions, they're usually going to buy, but then they always won't. And then you just kind of go from there. Less games is never going to be the answer, which I really think is purposefully it, where condensing some of the games, and I understand people say that other schools, they get paid to go to the big schools, they need that money for their athletic program, there's still TV money.
So you're saying condense the regular season.
There's just games, Josh, that, I mean, like, you don't need those games. And I'm going to say this, too. There's some Big Ten games that I don't need, yeah, right? There's some Big Ten opponents that don't deserve to be on the field. But that's the problem. I would have said the same thing about who a couple of years ago? Indiana.
Right.
And look at them now, right? Like, you got to give everybody their shot to rebuild their program and get back up and moving. And it'll never happen because there's too much money in the TV deals. Like, they don't care if it's Ohio State and Akron. They're going to put it on TV and people are going to watch, of course.
But, I mean, I think to your point, there has to be a conversation about what the regular season looks like if we're going to talk about expansion to, you know, 24 teams. And it's probably not just going to stop at 24, whatever the next expansion ends up looking like. I think there is a legitimate conversation about the regular season. I think part of the problem of trying to condense that in any sort of way is, I don't think that, as big as these conferences are today, I don't think that we're playing enough conference games. The Miami situation was crazy, and part of it's because the conferences are too damn big. You know, we're looking at a Big Ten where Ohio State, pretty much the whole regular season, you're like, okay, when's the big game going to come up? Well, they're not playing Oregon. Penn State was down. It's not their fault. Didn't get Indiana in the regular season. Didn't play Iowa. Like, there was nothing there because the conferences are so damn big now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You would say with the expansion, there's a world that people instantly would go, everybody makes it, the regular season becomes less important,
right?
And to your point, like, you know, there's the conferences and all the change that we're having there. I actually kind of subscribe to the other side of it, where I would say, yeah, if you know you're going to make it, schedule the big game. Go ahead. You know, it used to be in the past where if there's only two teams making it, yeah, you better not go out of conference to go play Alabama. Like, you're not going to sign up for Notre Dame to come play you, because if you lose that game, the margin for error is so small that you might get left out. Now, which, again, relative of everybody making it, go ahead, go schedule Alabama. Go give me a Big Ten SEC crossover every year. You know, billions of dollars will be made off of that, because everybody will watch and you'll get done with it and you'll say, yeah, even if Ohio State lost to Alabama, they still probably will make it. But I say that relative, because we know how crazy the committee can be and weird things, you know, have happened. But
I mean, that's going to be better. Texas's argument for why they want to expand the college football playoff, right? Like, they're already threatening to pull out of some of their big non-con matchups that they have scheduled in the future. Again, like, I think even if we did that, and you could guarantee people that if you play these games and it doesn't come out your way, whatever the case is, I think there are going to be a lot of folks who are doing what Kurt Cignetti has decided they're going to do at Indiana, where it's like, no, we're going to play Indiana State and we're going to play, you know, Old Dominion and we're going to play Kennesaw. And that's all you're going to see out of us. Even if you said you could lose to Georgia if you scheduled them in the non-con, and there would still be a spot for you, they're probably going to be like, yep, don't want the wear and tear. Just want to be able to go hard in the postseason anyway.
We'll take a look at the NFL slate yesterday. We've got one game tonight to wrap it up, 49ers-Colts, but some big news for some big Buckeyes and some unfortunate news on the injury front for a couple others. We'll get to all that coming up. Joshua Perry, Matt Fontana, it's the Buckeye Show. We're back in 2 minutes.
Paul Keels for RV Wholesalers. Peace of mind, that's what you get when purchasing your next RV from RV Wholesalers. With every new RV purchase, Ohio residents receive the exclusive Buckeye Service Guarantee. If your RV is in the shop, RV Wholesalers will give you a free loaner. Also with a Buckeye Service Guarantee, you'll receive free delivery in the state of Ohio and three-day RV exchange. That's the exclusive Buckeye Service Guarantee. Only at RV Wholesalers in Lakeview, Mansfield, Delaware, at RVW.com. RV Wholesalers, a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field.
That's why Encova Insurance is prepared for what's next and protects what matters most to you. With independent insurance agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova Insurance is an easy win for your peace of mind. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you.
The Buckeye Show is sponsored by CareSource. Proud to be your home for Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
If you still have a weird rash from jumping in Mirror Lake, we can be friends. This is the Buckeye Show.
We'll take a look back at the NFL with some Buckeyes making some big plays and some unfortunate injuries for a couple others. He's Joshua Perry. I'm Matt Fontana. We got you for the Buckeye Show tonight, taking up till 8 o'clock. Don't forget, Jackets late tonight. Cavs just tipping off against the Hornets. We got a little Monday night football action tonight as we get ready to go. We start yesterday, though, Joshua, and Chris Olave with another massive game, buck 48, two touchdowns for him. And you know, I think about that situation down in New Orleans where they turned things over to Tyler Shuck, and there was a lot of question if they were going to trade Chris and if he'd still be there or not. They ended up moving on from Shahid, sending him up to Seattle. But now you see probably why they wanted to keep Chris Olave down there, because they got their rookie quarterback, and it's nice when you got a guy as talented as Chris Olave to throw the football to.
I mean, as long as he is healthy and available, right? Like one of the top receivers in the game. And it's really good to see him having success, because I know how difficult it is when you're in and out of the lineup, and especially when you're, you know, dealing with concussions and whatnot. Like super tough existence there, but like we saw it here, developed here, right? Like we saw what Chris Olave could be, and he'll just have these games, man, where it's over 100 yards receiving. He'll give you a couple of touchdowns, and it's just a reminder of how damn good he actually is.
Same thing with Jackson Smith and Jigba, and that game was just electric between Seattle and the Rams. You go to overtime, and you know, I know a lot of people with probably the fantasy implications were watching this game. They're like, all right, where's Jason? Like, where's he at? And then he ends up doing just fine with eight grabs for the 96 and the touchdown. But I can't I shoot myself in the foot on this one, but it might have been Jeremiah Smith, or it was another receiver. It might have been Mike Thomas. I can't remember. But somebody was shouting out Jackson Smith and Jigba because they said, listen, you look at all these receivers that have come through Ohio State that are in the NFL, that are just some of the best, and they go, there is no, of that group of Buckeyes, there's nobody better on that back end line than Jackson Smith and Jigba on keeping those feet in, working that back line of the end zone, and go figure, that's kind of how he got that touchdown to help get a big win there for Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, I remember during the COVID year where he had that insane catch in the end zone when he was playing here. It like just got a foot down. I mean, didn't even look like it was a possibility. Went to replay. Absolutely did. It's what he does. And to me, watching his game translate into the NFL so seamlessly and flawlessly, great route runner, got great hands, speed is underrated, right? And just he is the type of receiver that is a quarterback's best friend, because he's just always open and he makes the plays.
Another play was made by Lathan Ransom. He got the interception on Baker Mayfield to seal that one for the Panthers. And he was one that I frankly thought slipped a little bit as a fourth-round pick for Carolina. But, man, he's been playing a lot for them. And that was a big pick that he got off Baker Mayfield to seal that game there.
One of my favorite guys. I remember talking to him and just understanding how his approach to the game, his approach to leadership. I'm like, okay, whatever you want to think about him as a prospect and how high would you draft him, forget all that and think about how long is this guy going to make an impact on our franchise? Because he's a dude to me that can play in the league for as long as he wants to, because he's skilled enough, but he's got all of the intangible things that you're looking for in guys that end up playing a long time.
On the unfortunate side of things, Travion Henderson didn't return last night for the Patriots. He's suffering that head injury. You know, I'm up in Cleveland, Joshua, to watch that Quinshon Judkins injury. And I mean, obviously it was a gruesome injury, but I feel so bad for him, man, because the Browns offense has been a bit of a mess this year, but he was just such a bright spot for so long. It's been a rough month for him running the football, just because the offense has not been what they expected in the offensive line. But to see that injury, the good news is they say 4 to 5 month recovery, so hopefully that shouldn't really impact him for getting ready to go for training camp. They said no ligament damage, so he'll have surgery, dislocated ankle, and a broken leg. But I feel bad for Q, man, because he was having a really good season up until about a month ago.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you mentioned it, the start of the year. I'm like, could this guy be the rookie of the year in the NFL, right? Like, I mean, just he was impactful. He was making the plays. You saw the tough running, the grit, of course, as it happens when you're a rookie and also when you're on a team that's no good. Like, sometimes the production levels off, but you're like, you could see that this guy can be a star. So I hate any time somebody gets hurt like that, especially when they're putting the pieces together to a nice little year. But obviously with the connection here, it stinks even more. And then the other one you mentioned, Trey, I don't know why it took the Patriots so long to just be like, okay, he's going to be the guy at running back. We're just going to hand him the pill all the time. Like, he is that dynamic and that electric.
You know, Ramondre Stevenson is a fine player. Obviously he had that fumbling problem kind of the biggest thing to circle, but it's so funny you say that, Josh, because like I kind of feel the same thing with the Lions, and I'm not trying to rip David Montgomery, because I think he's a good player, but I'm like, why are you just not giving that ball to Jahmyr Gibbs all the time? And I get that that's kind of the new thing, right? Like, even Chicago with Ben Johnson, he leaves Detroit, what? He loves Kyle Monongai, and he loves DeAndre Swift. But then there's games where you go, okay, well, neither one of them did anything.
Right.
Like, neither one of them could really get into to a rhythm there. And that is one in New England that, as they got over to Travion Moore and giving him the ball more, I go, there's just that what we knew at Ohio State. There is that just electric, that home run opportunity almost every time he touches the ball, and I think it's better off. And I know, you know, it's unfortunate he got hurt, and Stevenson came in with 2 touchdowns last night to help them stun the Ravens there. But yeah, I'm kind of with you. That's one that I go, I'm glad he's getting his time now. We'll have to see how concussion protocol goes. I hope he's back soon, you know, for Travion. But yeah, that's one I think he should be getting more opportunities there. Final one I wanted to bring up, just because if I could do anything to fix this situation for Marvin Harrison Jr., I'd do it, man. And I get that he was injured. He had missed almost a month. The heel injury, comes back, 3 targets, 1 catch. I don't know. I really don't. And that's... I look at Arizona as being maybe one of the more unstable organizations, and that they still are able to win games, but they got Kyler. It's kind of the same thing with Tua. You sit there and you go, well, we paid him all this money. What are we going to do? Well, I guess we got to run him back. Like, it's clear that nobody seems to be on the same page with Marvin Harrison, but I wanted to bring it up for this, Josh. I got to say this. I'm not buying that Marvin Harrison's not good. I refuse. I refuse, and I'm not going to do it. Because people just instantly go, well, he's not good. He sucks. He's not. And I go, are you insane? Like, there's no way to watch that guy and what he did at Ohio State and watch him now. And I get it. It's his second year in the league, and he's had to fight through the injury. He just doesn't lose it. There's no way this guy just loses it. I have no idea what's going on with him in the Arizona Cardinals right now.
I joke around with some of my coworkers at NBC about players we watch during the college football season, really good players that are on bad teams or in bad situations, and we're always like, that guy is in prison. Marvin's in prison right now in Arizona, and I'm with you. Like, there were parts of his game that I think became more of an issue, maybe was revealed more so than when he was in college. He was never an elite separator as a route runner in college. His thing was always being legit at the catch point, a physical wide receiver and a good route technician. But if it was about like, I'm just going to pull away from somebody, that was never really his thing. So that shows up, right? Like, guys are better in the NFL. They can cover wide receivers better in the NFL. Like, these are professional dudes that are there for a reason. He's not what the numbers are saying he is, though. There's no shot that he's that bad. And it's unfortunate because when you're in an organization with a quarterback that's a question mark, maybe a staff that is a little bit in disarray, they're not so sure about how things are going on. Maybe there's apathy that's seeping into that building, which I've played on bad teams in the NFL. You would be surprised at how quickly guys will check out. And Tuesday was payday. You show up, that check is in your locker on Tuesday. You smile, you go to the bank and cash it, and that's all you care about. When that starts seeping in, it hurts everybody. And I just have a feeling it's all of the external factors, but it ain't Marv. There's no way it's Marv.
No, and that's people looking, saying, going, oh, look at what Michael Wilson is doing. He's finding a way. I'm like, well, he's getting the opportunities.
Right.
Marv got three targets in that game. And I get that Jacoby Brissett, right? Like, he's in there because Kyler Murray's hurt again. And maybe they just have the relationship or the chemistry because Marv has been injured. I don't want it to go down. It's just, man, Marv had all the talent, but then just kept getting hurt, because I don't buy that either. Like, I understand he's been injured, and that's been a factor in it, but yeah, if I could wave a magic wand and just get him out of Arizona, instead of, I don't want to say anywhere else, but somewhere else.
Where would you put him? If you could wave a magic wand, where would you put him?
Dude, would he not look amazing with Drake May right now? Oh, and that's man. Not a shot at like Stephon Diggs, who all of a sudden kind of found that fountain of youth up there with New England. But I think with watching them play last night, and it's kind of been the mark of the Patriots, right? They haven't had all these. I know they had Gronk and they had Edelman and all that, but they've really missed on some receivers bad over the last couple of years. And I get they go out, they pay Stephon Diggs because they feel like he could be somebody to help Drake May. But like, man, could you imagine Marv up there with him? I'm just trying to think of the young Josh Allen.
Sure,
you know, Khalil Shakir's a fine player. But especially somebody that could really throw that jump ball, you know, that we're talking about up there for Marv. What about you? What other teams? If we could wave a magic wand and get Marv Harrison any team, where do you send him?
I would like him in a Detroit-Chicago type situation.
I like that.
You know, just the way that they execute offense there, like, it doesn't require him to be an elite separator, because they understand conceptually like how to create the space there within the offense. I think he'd be really good. And then of course, if you could count on like a Stafford to play forever, the Rams would be an interesting offense with him in it. They're loaded, but like, I feel like he'd step right in and be productive.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You got these decisions that are all coming up with a lot of these teams with the quarterbacks, but even just young players. Like, what is our future? We've seen. Like, I the Sauce Gardner trade comes to mind, right? Where you're like, listen, we've got this guy. We know he's a star, but maybe the fit's not here. A good offer comes through. He's paid. I know Marv doesn't, you know, have his contract yet, but still, like, those are all things that are starting to move with these. I think it's becoming more and more apparent with the NFL that if you are not one of these teams competing, that you are better off selling these pieces off and trying to get as many draft picks as you can to, frankly, ultimately find the quarterback, because that's really all that matters in the NFL.
It's going to be a tough year if you're looking for a quarterback.
And my Browns need one.
Yeah, I know. I know.
They like, you know, Mendoza, and people want to look at that Ohio State game. And he was fine. You know, he was fine. I'm like, but also, I've had this conversation with people, too. I was like, Don't act like he lit us up, man.
That's what I keep telling people. Like,
I keep arguing with people.
It's crazy. And I know that was like the Heisman punctuation was a third down pass, which is insane.
Sure. And it was a great throw.
It was. Like, his numbers and Julian's numbers were not very far apart, right? Yeah. Like, there wasn't a ton of separation. I've got a whole Fernando Mendoza thing. I think he's a very good player. But I've been digging into tape on him and red flags in terms of what I think as an NFL prospect. But that's not this show. We could talk about that at a different time.
All right. I do have to ask, just for my own personal information here, do you like Dante Moore at all?
Yes. The slump that he had in the middle of the season is going to be something I have to study. I got to figure out what kind of happened there. Love the arm, though. Love that he's a good athlete. It, like, you know, moves around the pocket. Well, he reminds me of Stroud in that sense, where he's not a guy who wants to run it, but when it's required of him, he can move around pretty well. Yeah. But I think Dante should come back for another year too, though.
Dude, that's my biggest thing, because I'm starting to get hooked on Dante Moore a little bit, and I'm starting to, because I watch the throws and watch the tape where I see those throws, and I go, ooh, that's
I mean, the throws
it.
He was making it. Against JMU, I know it's JMU, but like,
right.
He's, just the placement of the football, like, okay, dude, electric.
Yeah, and that's the few starts, it was UCLA, right? It was a Cal, one of the
UCLA.
So he was there, but then, you know, sat behind Dylan Gabriel and now is the full-time starter. I just think it's going to be hard to sit there and be like, dude, you're almost guaranteed to be the second quarterback taken and at worst a top four pick.
Well, he's going to have a new OC if he comes back too.
Yeah, and there's some changes with that coming as well, because I do sit there. I'm starting to like it more and more. But like you said, another show for another day coming up on that. All right, Buckeye Show, we'll put a bow on this, get you ready, off and going. We're here for some of the defensive players for the Browns, and I do think, for the Buckeyes, and a few interesting things coming from Sonny Styles. We'll bring that up in just a little bit. It's the Buckeye Show right here on The Fan.
We used to have a billboard with our host's face on it, but only ugly people work here now.
Your mama say you ugly, hey!
The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Do you hate...
Hosting a passionate crew of Buckeye fans? Revamp your rec room for an epic watch party with power reclining sofas, massaging recliners, entertainment centers, and coffee tables from Bob's. They even have sofas with drop-down tables for snacks and bevs. Shop in-store or online to score big on an incredible game day setup at Bob's Everyday Low Prices. Bob's Discount Furniture, proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics.
There's one medical team in Central Ohio skilled enough to care for your favorite Ohio State team and Buckeyes everywhere. The Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center is your choice for the most highly specialized orthopedic and sports medicine care. Our surgeons, physicians, and physical therapists have access to the most advanced treatments and innovative recovery approaches to get you back in your game. Because on or off the field, our team is your team. The choice for your orthopedic care is clear. Attention Columbus. Town Properties just clinched the title of the largest residential property manager in Columbus, thanks to the Columbus Business Journal. With pride, we oversee 25,000 plus households in the Columbus metro area, ensuring fantastic places to call home. Whether you're on the hunt for an exceptional living space, a top-notch association management company, or a property manager for your multifamily portfolio, visit our website at town-properties.com and let us elevate your living experience. Town Properties, always managing great places to live.
Are you ready to take your business to the next level? Introducing Optimized IT, the managed services division of Modern Office Methods. With our cutting-edge managed IT services, we bring proven management strategies to the table to support your current IT team. That's not all. Our experienced team provides insight on how to maximize efficiency, helping you achieve your goals faster. Concerned about security? Our backup solutions help guarantee your data is protected around the clock, giving you peace of mind. Start at optimizedit.net for your free IT assessment. Stay ahead, stay secure, and stay up.
In the old days when people lived to be 40, you only had one option for listening to your favorite show. But now, ooh, baby, radio, podcast, the Fan app, and YouTube, ooh, just to name a few, live or on demand. You have no excuses. The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Federal Elite Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Ryan Day's favorite radio show. Probably. Maybe. You're listening to The Buckeye Show.
I mean, I tell everybody Ryan Day loves the show when I host it. Joshua Perry, Matt Fontana. He's former Buckeyes on here with Joshua. I know you didn't play for Ryan Day, but still, he's got to love the show. It's got to be his favorite show, right?
Well, I don't know. Should they have enough time right now? Maybe right now. We're getting close to the holidays, right? You had a little extra time to game plan. But if Ryan Day is walking around the Woody with AirPods, listening to the Fan app, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Me in the car, you know, drive home, grab some dinner, head on back. You never know.
He feels like a peace and quiet kind of guy on the ride home.
He does. Yeah. And it's so funny that I'm a little older than you. I'm not much older. I'm a little older than you. But as I get older, I'm like, man, silence in the car is actually not all that bad. I got two kids. Yep. You know, you're always listening and doing the jobs we have. Like, you're always listening. You're always got AirPods. You know, sometimes I'll just sit in the car, and then I'm just like, oh, it's so nice. Then you hear a rattle in your car, and you're like, no! You're like, nah,
some money I got to spend.
Yeah, that's money I got to spend. My wife got in my car. She goes, how do you not hear that rattle? And I go, I don't know. I turn the radio up. I don't hear it. It is what it is.
Funny.
I got to move forward.
I think Ryan Day is an introspective, thoughtful person. He's probably a quiet ride home kind of guy.
That's the way to do it. All right, defensive guys, we're speaking a little bit later today, and we'll recap this a little bit more in tomorrow's Buckeye Show as well, but I thought this was interesting from Sonny Styles. Shout out to Patrick Murphy, of course, for the quotes here from Bucknuts, and he said, Sonny Styles on the defense, not satisfied at all in the Big Ten championship game, and said, we got outplayed by that other defense. And he said, for the Buckeyes, we got to leave it all out there because it's winter, go home. And it just that mentality of, we were talking a little about Fernando Mendoza and how he played in that game. I look at it and I say, listen, it was a really good football game. It was a competitive football game. It was a back and forth. And it was one of those ones, Josh, that I was like, I know we lost and I'm bitter and I didn't want to lose that game. But I also look at it and I was like, there was just some good game plans going on. And there was just some plays made on both sides. So, like, I appreciate Sonny coming out and saying, listen, we didn't like our performance there and we got outplayed. Like, that chip on that shoulder seems to be really alive with this team as they get ready to go against Miami.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, here's the thing. I keep going back to this idea of if they convert the two red zone chances, right? Like, I don't think these guys are going to look at that tape and say that they got outplayed by the other team. I think Indiana had a couple of plays on Ohio State's defense where it's like, okay, you got to get that corrected up. Obviously, the touchdown and then the play that basically sealed it at the end on that third down where you're in one-on-one situations. Have to find ways to get the stops there, etc. I'm also looking at an Ohio State defense that they basically had to hold the entire game because they could not block them up front.
Yeah.
They couldn't. Yeah. They could not block Kenyatta up front. I'm looking at an Ohio State defense, first play of the game, come out, hit the quarterback right under the chin, right? Like, they are as close as they can be. And I love the edge and the mentality of it. But if we're going to tell the truth, I didn't walk away from that game feeling like that side of the ball got outplayed by anybody. I felt like they stood up in situations majority of the time in that one. It's just every game there's a couple that you'd like to have back.
I agree. And it's funny you say that because Kenyatta Jackson tonight was asked about the holding. And how about this answer? He said, don't let him hold you.
Yep.
He said, it's about technique. Get the hands off of you,
yep.
Which I know has been a big thing about the holding calls that Ohio State doesn't get. And when they actually did call, a couple of people on social media were like, oh my gosh, what a Christmas miracle. Like, oh, this isn't, you know, because they just don't get the calls. But that's a really interesting perspective from Kenyatta to sit there and say, hey, don't let him hold you. And it's crazy to think about that because, like, you're pass rushing. Like, and if the guy tackles you, it's a hold. It is what it is. But I think some of those ones that maybe aren't so obvious, he's talking about, yeah, it's on us on the D line to get the hands off it.
Yeah. I mean, Luke Fickell always used to say, great players don't get held, right? So, like, I get what they're getting at. And this clearly is a high ownership, high accountability group that's speaking right now. But again, if you're getting tackled, like, the officials have to throw the flag. Like, that to me, it's hard to even explain or try to defend that. Like, some of those were so obvious that he was getting abused out there, and they just held on to the flag. So I appreciate him saying that he's going to do his part to not get held, and he's right. Like, there's a lot of technique, more violent with the hands, don't let him pull you in close to the body, et cetera, et cetera. I get all of it, but we got to be reasonable out here as officials too and throw a flag when a guy's getting tackled like that.
Yeah, and the more that it's brought up, I think, is good because, again, I'm an Ohio State fan, so I come off as a homer when I say this, but still, I just want the fair game, and there was just time that it was egregiously not fair.
Yeah.
And it was either Ohio State was just that dominant and they were that good, and it makes it hard because you just feel like there's no way, right? There's no way that guy could be that fast getting around. There's no way Caden Curry got there that fast, right? Well, no, he's getting held the whole time. So
I will say this. Flags. If I'm an offensive coach, an offensive line coach, I'm telling my guys to do the same thing Indiana did. Hey, look, if they're not going to call it,
right,
it's not cheating at that point. It's just playing the game out there,
right,
for me.
We'll change. Go ahead. They throw a couple flags.
Right.
Okay, they're watching it. We're going to flip this on back and go. But it is something that is going to be so interesting because, like, you know, as the preview goes, we got plenty of time to get ready to go for Miami, but I think about that of, like, man, these two D lines here are going to be huge for both of these squads, something to watch. And they said, I just want it fair. I just want it to go each way. You're going to be watching Bane. You're going to be watching Caden. You're going to be watching Kenyatta. Arvell, it's going to be how it goes, but it's so much fun. Josh, first show for us together, man. I really appreciate it. So happy to have you back on the fan. We have the Buckeye Show again tomorrow. Isaiah, great stuff. So we got you. Then don't forget, JR Sports Brief is coming up. Then later tonight, 9:30, we'll kick things off with Blue Jackets pregame. That comes your way here on the fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place.
Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. They're